Video's on.
I'm going to call her right now.
Oh, are you there?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. It is 10:06, and on behalf of Chairman Alvarado and Vice Chair of Budget Appropriations, I call the Committee of Budget Appropriations to order. And I guess I also, at this time, call the Committee of Public Safety and Security to order. I believe we have a quorum, right, Debbie? We have a quorum. So the two committees are in session. Let me acknowledge the presence of Legislator Burroughs and Gordon. I know we have everybody. We express our, again, express our
thank you, Marty. Thank you very much.
And, we went through a difficult time.
I appreciate everybody's sympathies and communications that people have expressed.
Glad you're able to make it back. First item for the joint meeting committees would be a...
Oh, no, you did it.
You caught me.
Chairman Jenkins has arrived.
Oh, yes, he did.
The appropriate chair.
He caught me.
Let me see, where's my... the first item will be the budget's agenda, item 4419. An act authorizing Westchester County to enter into a regional partnership agreement with Dutchess and Putnam counties in order to receive funding from the New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services under a FY10 Hazardous Materials Grant Program. And to explain all that to us, we are pleased to have our Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services, Mr. Sutton. The floor is yours.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity, and my condolences as well. What you have before you here is a what's known as a focused grant from the state of New York, which is channeling Homeland Security money down. The idea is to create regional partnerships. We have a number of these. You may remember that we did one for animal rescue teams a short time ago. We also did one for a technical rescue. And now we're doing one for hazmat. This is actually our second for hazmat. This is a partnership with Putnam and Dutchess County to purchase and train on what's known as a hazmat IV machine. It basically takes an unknown powder and identifies it. It's extremely important for us to have that capability and have it as a regional kind of a resource as well. We will rotate the device and make sure that we have joint training and communications, and actually our objective eventually is to create a regional response team that includes personnel from each of the counties. Just as a background to it, shortly after September 11th, I think you remember, is when the anthrax scares started to hit, and we had a number of calls that actually in Westchester County exceed 300 of unknown powdery substances that people reported, whether it was in mail or mailboxes or anything like that. Fortunately, none of them really represented any kind of a threat. Some of them were malicious in nature, and there were several prosecutions, but for the most part, they were all nothing. The machine is a phenomenal piece of equipment, because I can tell you, having seen it firsthand, that it takes a little while to warm it up, but once it's warmed up and ready to roll, it will identify a substance, and we had one that not only identified it as baking soda, but told us exactly who made the baking soda. So it's that important, and what it takes is a situation where a lot of people are very anxious, and makes it go away very quickly. So that, in a nutshell, is what you have in front of you. It's not a tremendous grant. I think it's the first block in an ongoing process here to build a regional response team.
And for the record, it is $117,000 approximately that Westchester County will administer. So, Commissioner, this is essentially buying a piece of equipment, having Westchester and the other two counties train on it. It's mobile. This equipment will be brought right out to the scene and able to take the unidentified chemicals or powder, whatever, and do that.
Right on location. Yeah.
And how does that tie? I guess I don't want to spend too much time on it, but our current, because one of your major responsibilities on behalf of people in Westchester is to take care of us in biological, radiological, chemical kind of situations. The current capabilities. How does this fit in?
We currently have one of these machines. So we've had it for quite some time. But to create this regional cache, so to speak, and be able to give ourselves some redundancy, that's why we have it. It's good for powders. We also have a machine that we purchased and is housed in our health department, and it's a far more sophisticated device and even can work with some liquids. And then our third line of defense at the county is the bio lab, where we transport anything that we're not able to identify using these field processes. You should be confident that we have a very good safety net here and a very good way to identify unknowns and turn things around quickly.
So without opening up old issues, take an event, presumably our county police are on the scene first or prior to maybe someone from your department situation. They would identify the need. They would see powder or something unusual. But they then call your department?
The way it typically unfolds is a local jurisdiction, whether it'll be a police chief or a fire chief, whoever has got the call, will call us. And we will also notify the hazardous devices unit, the bomb squad, because you need to start from the realm of it could be anything and work your way down. So we want to make sure, first and foremost, that it's not some kind of explosive device or have anything like that involved with it. So that's why we have a partnership with the Hazardous Materials, Hazardous Devices Unit from the Department of Public Safety. And then we work our way through. If it's something that someone's already opened and there's powder that's spilled out of it, we can handle that as well. I mean, I can tell you that it's a common practice. It still goes on. People will write a thread on a letter and send it out. I think maybe perhaps you saw one. There was just one last week in the lower part of the county. So the way these things occur is as soon as there's one, then you get a rash of them because there's a lot of copycat kind of activity that goes on.
So this process is intended partly to strengthen our partnership, our relationship with the other county.
Right.
All right. Members, anything, Mr. Burton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If there are two substances that appear to be different, can you handle two of those in the field, or do you have to send the second one out?
We can cycle a machine.
You can cycle. So
oh, yes. So we could go. We could if there were a number of different piles, if you will, of powder or whatever it may be, we can certainly guess. I mean, it's not the machine is goes through a cycle. You clean it, put it back. You know, take another sample, put it on there, and you're good to go.
And does every baking powder manufacturer put a marker in to tell you what?
I really can't tell you. I know that in home heating oil, diesel fuel, there's always a trace signature in them because that's learned over time that it's important to be able to look back to the source. I don't know that. I suspect that the manufacturer has taken the realm of possibilities and tried to at least incorporate the very popular brands. So. You know, they'll have the ability to put that in there. But it very quickly tells you, it classifies the agent. And even when it tells you it's not a definitive finding, it'll rule in and rule out certain substances. So it's a big help because we refer to that as the pucker factor. And, you know, so if you really got something that's ringing bells and whistles, then you really need to know that you got to stop and be far more careful. You got to really throw a wider net and maybe decon an area or shut it down until you have a definitive response from labs and research as to what exactly it did turn out to be. So it makes something where you get a lot of very anxious people. It makes it go away very quickly if you can say, "Don't worry about it. Baking powder. Whatever it may be."
So. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Burton. Anybody Any other members? The committee's seen over the years, I mean, Westchester County has had a leadership role in this for pretty close to 12, 14 years, I guess. And the Department of Emergency Services, going back at least 12, 13 years to its creation, it has had the very important and unique job to be the coordinator of mutual aid in this county. Tony Sutton, from the very beginning, has been part of a team that has coordinated the mutual aid responses to fires and emergency medical situations, hazardous materials responses, has been vigilant with respect to our responsibilities concerning chemical, biological, radiological weapons of mass destruction. These are our responsibilities as the coordinator of mutual aid for these types of events. We also have come to be the government in the Hudson Valley that provides the, at times expensive, but the very important centralized services to communities. And in our system of reciprocal assistance, we provide help without question, knowing that we are involved in a greater system where the same is returned to us if we should need the help of our neighbors. So this obviously is something that's been very important. In the time we've looked at shared services involving Tony's operation, Commissioner's operation, we've come to see the types of things that they are able to do in with respect to this particular function. This now constructs a partnership that's invaluable to the counties that will be part of it, and also puts us in a much stronger position to handle this part of our function. So it's another good step for a department that has proved its worth for well over a decade. And Tony bringing this here just shows the type of leadership that the department has. And obviously that goes back to a point when they really assumed their role in the lower Hudson Valley on 9/11, when they coordinated much of what was done north of the city to handle or to help with that situation.
Mr. Harkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So move for both committees. Oh, no, I can't. So move for budget.
Second.
And for public safety?
Oh, I can move, yeah.
Okay, you can.
So Bill up there, I'm seeing you parked.
All right, so moved and seconded. And let me just also, again, add, as Chair of Public Safety, again, once again, to take the opportunity to thank Commissioner Sutton for the work he and his department does every day, keeping an eye on the safety of people in Westchester.
Ms. Chairman, I also just wanted to comment again for both you and Chairman of Public Works, Boss Labor and Transportation. Certainly, they had their demonstration again, the West demonstration, with all the vehicles and the availability from the regional DPW, emergency services, and public safety, coordinating with all the municipalities, showing their capabilities and how they can work together. And want to commend the Commissioner for continuing that outstanding piece of work, because as Chairman Ryan just said, that is certainly what they've been doing for a very long time, and just outstanding work and continued great work. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, with that, all in favor of both committees?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So for both committees, it's passed. Members of Public Safety, stay around to sign this, but I believe there's no other business come before Committee of Public Safety and Security, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Ryan, second by Mr. Burton. All in favor?
All right.
Thank you. Committee of Public Safety and Security stands adjourned. Thank you, Commissioner.
I'd like to call this meeting of the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee to order. We're meeting this morning for the purpose of considering jointly with the Budget and Appropriations Committee the items that are listed immediately under number one on your agenda, items for discussion. I'm referring to items now listed on both the budget agenda as well as the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee agenda released for this morning. First item up is a proposed act that deals with bus stop enhancements
And it's an act that would amend the county capital budget appropriation for projects so labeled in the 2011 capital budget. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
For the record, if you could state your name.
Patty Shemka, Public Works and Transportation.
It's still a transportation.
Okay. We have this item before us, and if you would take us through what are we looking to do with this particular act dealing with the capital budget amendment?
Well, the budget amendment actually will reflect additional federal and state aid that has come to the county through the ARRA grant that we received, as well as additional state aid which came to us. So it'll be modifying the county share, reducing the county share of the dollars that will be spent on the project.
By $500,000?
By $500,000.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Any questions for Patty and Rich?
Questions like bike racks. I mean, you have criteria you go through analyzing each stop as to how you go about making this.
We have a guideline called bus stop guidelines for Westchester County, and it literally has a checkoff sheet. If a bus stop serves X number of passengers, you do this. If it serves more passengers, you do this. The more passengers it serves, the greater the enhancement.
See, the project several years ago, I recall, the bus stops were going to have, with the help of, I guess, GPS technology, the buses, one was going to be able to tell when the bus was coming. Where are we with that project?
That's the vehicle location.
It's the automatic vehicle location system. As we speak, they're being installed on board the buses. That will be complete by the end of this year, probably. It may be complete by the end of the summer. So our dispatchers and our supervisors and managers will know where buses are. We'll also know whether they're on time, off schedule, and be able to take remedial action to get them corrected.
But in terms of getting that information to the bus stops, each individual bus
That's stop, for a new project.
That's for a new
project. Right.
But you don't feel that this money can or should go towards that project?
No, that's an electronic project. This is
Congress. Are generating any jobs in Westchester? Because some of this work could be so it's not necessarily for Westchester folks. It's spending money on.
Typically, it's been through the Department of Public Works and Transportation. They are usually add-ons to road projects. We've done that in the past. We'll continue to do that.
Okay, members of Budget or Public Works, anybody? Mr. Williams.
Yes, in connection with the various stops, do you keep records that we can look at to let us know your decision process in terms of the number of riders?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. And they're available. Do you have that in a reviewable form that I can email? Or?
There's an electronic access. It's not off the website. It's from the intranet. We can send you the link if you'd like.
If you can send me the link, sure. I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Anything else for budget?
Mr. Chairman, only thing that, and it has nothing to do with this directly, but indirectly, I know that that we do have discussions for Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation regarding the bus racks and the scenario that we talked about before, and I see that is a portion of this particular grant, improvement and enhancements, and I know that it'll come up at a different time, but just wanted to mention again that we're still concerned about that particular issue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Bike racks
on the bus.
Right.
We had a trial that was set up, and that was stuff kind of midstream, but that's
right. There are two pieces of equipment. So once again, bike racks to be attached to buses. People with bicycles. I guess the capacity of the rack, over the two or three bikes per rack. And the idea was to make these available on certain buses for a test exercise, with the thought of making them available on many more of our buses. That's still an open item that we're still looking at.
Thank you, Mr.
Just one other question. Just for the record, because the way the transmittal and the committee report reflects, are you going to do a comprehensive bus stop program in which each stop will be assessed for improvements, including accessibility, but
Can you explain, I mean, without this grant, this fund, this new grant, I mean, I would assume that the department over some period of time has done a review, whether it's for accessibility or lighting or whatever, and so that not a whole lot of money we need to go towards a review as opposed to putting it into the need for new concrete pads and new lighting. But can you explain? I mean, I'm just a little concerned that this money is to be used
That's exactly what this money is. This money is for actual
implementation.
It's not for a planning.
You know the accessibility issues at the bus stops, I would
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just for the record, I'll have to get you. Okay, so this is the implementation.
This is concrete and benches, and this is actual improvement.
That's a good question. A good example of that was the committee's recently handled the proposed project on North Street that dealt with some of the incidentals, which was...
North Street is on the list. We've identified the stops to be improved and access to it. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Budget and Public Works, Transportation, anybody going once, going twice? Okay. At this point, I entertain a motion for both committees.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor for both committees?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Okay, this item is reported to the full board.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you. All right, we have a resolution. It's a sewer district modification, adding a parcel property to the Peekskill Sanitary Sewer District.
Good morning.
Very good. Hey, gentlemen, once again for the record.
Tom Laura, Commissioner, Environmental Facilities.
Marion Papa, Associate Engineer.
My condolences as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, we have a few of these. Let's see, item 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I guess right through 7 are all involving DEF, is that right?
Well, number 7, I have this playland. That's not
me. Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, except.
No, 7.
It's budget. It's on the budget agenda, Mr. Chairman. Right. You are correct. It is up to item 7 on the budget.
Okay. All right.
But
he's on the public works.
I'm on the public works.
Right. Very
good. Okay.
I have a question.
All right, here we go. So we have. On the agenda in front of you, Tom, we have item 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, all right. Okay, so why don't we just take these in order?
Okay, well, the first one, 2 and 3, would be a resolution for a public hearing. This is to add one parcel from Yorktown to the Peekskill Sanitary Sewer District. The treatment plant and the county facilities have the capacity to handle this 400 gallons per day, and it would actually lower the sewer rates in that district. It's very, very minimal.
Number 3 then is the accompanying act, the actual act itself.
Right.
And number 4.
Number 4 is actually removals from the Sawmill Valley Sewer District. And basically that would just slightly increase the tax rate for the other parcels. Very small increase.
These are four these are residential parcels?
Yes. Actually, one is it's 4 homes. One is on 2 parcels.
Okay. All right. And... number 5, we have this is not related. All right, number 5 is a removal of 4 properties, 5 tax parcels.
Right.
And let's move to number 6. We have this is a parcel, 5 tax parcels in the town of Mount Pleasant. Anything out of the ordinary with those?
No.
Spread over four properties? Okay. Are there any questions then, just on discussion for any of these different items? This is rather routine or similar to many that we've passed or we've handled in the past. Anything at all? Mr. Berg?
Sure.
Okay. All right. All right, then.
It's like an
option. Right. Let me entertain a motion then that we move these items that are in front of us this time.
So moved.
A motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. These items under report to the full committee.
Thank you very much.
Gentlemen.
Can I just ask?
Commission, before you go,
not so
the River Key, I think it's River Key Monthly, there's a report of water quality testing. One of their boats came out, and this past May, they said it was the worst ever. But at our plants, at the Yonkers plant, and I guess at the Austin plant, things were okay. But almost everywhere else, Kingsland, everywhere else they tested right up to Albany, but sort of the Westchester. So is that just, you know, I mean, obviously non-point runoff stuff? You get those reports? Do you track the sampling that's done?
We do not get those reports, but it would have to be for
like
runoff.
Is Chris here? Entrians or something? It's a very specific kind of
Enterococcus.
Enterococcus. And they said it was like worst ever.
It may be a runoff. It may be a lot for
no, it's okay.
Storm sewers. Yeah. That, you know, just flow out into the Hudson, just wash everything off. And there's a lot of animal waste that goes along with it. So
that's just, I mean, that just is what it is. Okay, thank you. Judy, did you have a
Did you get involved at all with Playland, with the bathhouse, with the sewer brick?
Yes, our people responded to it, and we had to jet it out. We found a big rock. I don't know how the rock got in there, but there was a
in the pipe?
In the pipe.
Ew.
So our guys removed it, and everything was flowing fine after that.
Oh, okay.
That.
Yeah.
Whether
weird.
Somebody lifted a manhole, whether, I don't know.
Wow.
But that was it. That was
okay.
The
yeah, I was very impressed at how quickly, I mean, I was in California, and I was getting emails all time. So it's actually good. I mean, it was quick, but
well,
I didn't know about the rock.
Because there was a beach involved.
I know.
Members of the budget committee, can I quickly do the minutes of Monday, June 6th?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So move, Mr. Chairman, but with a couple of minor corrections.
Minor correction, Mr. Byrne. Well, okay, so you just give those
corrections. Minor correct.
Okay, and you give those corrections.
Yeah,
so okay, thank you. Second on the minutes.
Seconded.
Mr. Williams, all in favor?
Aye.
I'll give the minutes of June 6th with minor corrections to the burden are passed. Chairman Ryan, we have. You want to do the receipt? Oh, the Wildwood affordable housing. Okay, there's one item we received and filed for budget. It's on the Wildwood affordable housing project, which I think
so moved, Mr.
Did,
Chair.
Right?
Yeah.
Received and filed. Moved by. Legislator Harkin, second.
Second.
Mr. Burton, second. All in favor?
Aye.
That item is received and filed.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning up our agenda.
Now we have a receiving file.
I guess we have the eight to compromise the Tomco claim. We have one final item for the joint meeting of both committees.
Are we out of contract?
I refer you to the ID 4427 as a proposed act. Modification of the Playland spectator admission fee for 2011. For those around the table on the budget committee only, let me point out that the draft that is in your file is the wrong draft. It's an older version, and I know that I have in the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee file the correct draft. They're both labeled 4427. The way in which you know that you have the correct draft is working down from the top 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. You see it begins Appropriations Committee and the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee. If you do not have the reference to the Public Works, Parks, Labor, you have an older draft.
Can we, Mr. Chairs, can we get the accurate draft?
Yeah, I in fact, all files should have that.
That probably is the only change.
So that's in the committee, I think.
It's
in the committee report. In all likelihood, when I reviewed the act that was in the budget file this morning, that was incorrect. Let me just make a quick check. And the act in the Parks Committee is correct. So if we have a correct act that everyone
can
looking
at. Can you say one last time what the correct one says?
The most important document, the act itself, under Section 2.
Yes.
That third line should begin with the word committee.
Okay.
And then followed by, and the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee. If yours does not say that.
No, the budget ones don't. We need accurate copies.
The corrected version, right?
I was told that the corrected one was put in everyone's
form. It
was put in some form.
But, Mr. Chair, if I may suggest, if that's the only change, we can certainly begin the discussion.
Why don't we begin the discussion? Let me just to kind of stabilize everything. When I reviewed this last week to very quickly dispose of this issue, I noticed that the legislation had mentioned that weekly reports were to go to the Budget Appropriations Committee, which is fine, except the point was that this information was requested by this board, by the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee. And it was a rather specific list of information that I wanted this board to receive periodically, weekly, in fact, from the department. And it was to go to the committee. Anyone else on the board, any committee of the board, can gladly, can certainly have the information as well. But that was a request that I was making on behalf of the committee and this board. The act did not contain that, so I asked that the act be modified. It was modified by including both committees, which once again is fine. But the one we are going to pass today is the one that includes the reference to Parks Recreation, to Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation. So with that, out of the way now, let's take a look at what we have here. Not to revisit the entire issue, we've talked towards the end of last year and all of this year, the board, its committee, has dealt with the issue of the admissions policy. Mr. Burroughs and I have had a number of conversations with the administration. The Public Works Parks Committee has had many conversations around the table, most of them with the Commissioner of Parks and her staff. We reached a decision to move a piece of legislation that would modify spectator fees a few weeks ago. The board passed that. The county executive considered what our action made his best judgment a decision to veto that. The issue now, the subject is back for our consideration. There is a modification, important modification to this. We're addressing that whole issue of the grandparents' tax and the double taxation for residents using the park. And this is a very simple piece of legislation that deals only now with the resident spectator piece. We're not dealing with the non-resident spectator fee, as the administration and its Parks Department advanced their thinking to the Budget Committee back in December. Their recommendation that we took from them at that time, that is not being touched by this legislation. We are only modifying the resident spectator piece of this whole admissions picture, and we're modifying it by changing that from $3 last year to zero this year. And I should also mention that it has been plugged in for a new level of $5 in the 2011 budget. But once again, the important
step is that that is being reduced down to zero for residents. So very simply put, that's the purpose of the act. That's
what was it? What was the impact that it would be on the revenue? I know the reason I'm asking.
Yes.
You could do the zero, $5 right. versus zero, but now that we're in the fourth week of it open, anybody have an idea?
Well,
what
it's
it
in the fiscal impact.
It's in the fiscal impact.
$377,000.
We have documents attached to this. The documents that I know we have been using up through last week contained a lot of important information, especially when you're looking at the comparisons to last year. But the current impact of this particular piece of legislation should be page 3 to your package. As soon as I know you don't have the new act yet, but.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in addition to that, I know that we're getting the fiscal impact as part of the documentation.
Right.
That we also received, Mr. Chairman, at your request a few weeks ago when we were talking about playland attendance when Commissioner O'Connor was here. We compared the numbers from last weekend to this weekend. The weekend we have is 6365, which was the previous weekend. And so members know that the the resident spectators in 2011 were 1,449. So for those scoring at home, 1,449 was the number of resident spectators. So the residents were 1,449. In 2010, for the same weekend, the resident spectators were 1,670. So the concern of the members when this was discussed previously was that the resident attendance would go down because the price for the resident spectators had moved from 3 to 5. Initially, the discussion around the table here when we were discussing this initial legislation was to keep it the same as 2010, which was 3 to 5, and the members around this table decided that it was going to be best for the citizens of Westchester not to be double taxed for something they already paid for, and that number should be zero. So that is the number. So people have that. For 2011, again, was 1449. In 2010 and 1670, for the same weekend, last weekend. For June, it was June 3rd through June 5th.
Two weekends ago.
So it's two weekends ago. Mr. Chairman asked for the data to be given to us weekly. We have not gotten that as of yet. We've been asking that individually to be able to get this information. And the non-resident number, just so people know, went from 2010 let's do 2011 first so you have the same numbers the same way, 1,748, and non-residents in 2010 was 1,291. So in essence, the number of non-resident spectators for that weekend, June 3rd to the 5th last weekend, went up, and the residents went down. So the numbers, again, if you have a bad weekend, for example, if it's a rain weekend, the numbers would both go down or both go up. They wouldn't be, one would go down and one would go up, especially seeing that the non-resident number went up and the resident number went down. That if it was bad weather, you'd have the opposite thing happen because someone would be traveling from further away looking at weather reports and determining that they weren't going to arrive. So again, this particular proposal the act does two things. One is require that report be made weekly to Budget and Appropriations and Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation, and it deals again with the residents who already pay for this particular service. I also want to just mention again that we have been in discussions with the administration from as early as May 26th in our leadership meeting. When we talk through this with the administration, we continue to have a discussion on this particular item to say, look, this is what the board has presented as far as savings for the residents that already paid for this particular service, and that's where it is. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this legislation accomplishes a few things. By leaving the non-resident spectator fee at $10, it addresses some of the fiscal concerns that people have. And by eliminating the fee for Westchester residents, it alleviates the concern about double taxation. The people are already paying for this park. We don't charge to enter other parks. So it will alleviate the double taxation, or to quote Legislator Rogowski, the granny tax issue. So, you know, those are the reasons that I'm supporting it. And I would also say that we did reach out to the minority leader on Friday. We did not hear back from him, but just for the record, we did reach out to him to lay the groundwork for this so he could discuss that with his members as well.
Gordon, you know, has any of that started?
No, as you know, I wasn't really around. I haven't spoken to Jim, but obviously we have Sheila here and I'm here, and I know we're meeting tonight at 5 o'clock, so it's a decision, something we'll discuss tonight. Yeah.
One of the things, before I want to recognize Judy, one of the things, obviously, we had the new system. It was new in 2009. It was tough to take a 2009 snapshot and draw any conclusions from it. We went into a year two of the new system. Now we had 2 years to where we could look at data. Now, in our third year of essentially the same system, we're now in a pretty good position to start to maybe draw some conclusions, or at least evaluate more data to help us understand if some kind of trend is in fact developing with respect to the park. So the request was made to the Parks Department. We do not want a report at the end of the season that shows us how things went in 2011. We're in a position now to get numbers for 2011 week after week after week. Some of those weeks will contain major events like Memorial Day. That's a major weekend for them. So it's a week after week tracking. And quite honestly, I think that this legislature, as well as the county executive's office, should also make use of that kind of tool. It'll help us understand what is going on at the park as the season unfolds, and perhaps some you know, course corrections and fine tuning can go on through the season that will help us avoid problems and perhaps even generate additional business for the county. So that's why we're so insistent on getting very timely information coming in from the department. Mrs. Myers.
Yes, two things. One, I would like to also underscore the importance of this, especially to the residents in my district who often utilize Playland as a park, which it is, and felt very dismayed, I think, at not only the first imposition of the tax on resident or on the entrance fee for residents, but then on the increase. So this is is good news for my constituents, definitely. Secondly, how does this impact our agreements with the concessionaires? And is there anything that now needs to does the county now need to go back and rework any contracts? I mean, how does this work?
I tell you, without having every single agreement with every concessionaire in front of us, I hate to make a blanket statement. Of the agreements that I'm more familiar with, this does not. Many of the concessionaires for this season entered into a contract where they are charged for the season, for the operation of their concession, and it's generally a flat fee. What it does do, it allows us, because of the improvements in the tracking of the head counts, it puts the county in a position in subsequent years to talk with more authority with the concessionaires as to exactly what the attendance is, and that kind of paves the way for a easier discussion on what an appropriate fee would be given the revenue potential that that a particular crowd of, say, 495 holds as opposed to a crowd of 695. So anyway, I think it's more prospective in its impact and use. Mr. Arnold.
Thank you. To Legislator Meyer's point, what happened to the contracts with the concessionaires was that the administration essentially reduce the amount that the county was earning from the budgeted line by $600,000 because of the drop in attendance. What this may do, although there's no guarantee of that, but if we push the numbers up, it puts us in a position to get more revenue from the concessionaires. So there's no guarantee that that will happen, but it's certainly the more people drive to the park, there is a threshold where the higher levels kick in, and we actually have a shot at more revenue, not to mention more people buying hamburgers, hot dogs, T-shirts, and coming into the park. And let's not forget the economic impact study that the Committee on Budget and Appropriations and the Parks Department had done a few years ago, the $21 million economic multiplier that Playland represents to the county's economy was based on people through the door, not the fee charged by the county. So it's important, again, that we get those folks in the door. We don't double tax Westchester residents, and we still charge the revenue to folks coming from out of the county to mitigate the loss.
Mr. Jack is on the point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, yes, on both those points. First, the concessionaire contracts, as Ms. Tarkham clearly explained, were reduced this year. We did mention this on the floor. The contracts that were up for renewal this year, vendors were attempting to negotiate a lower rate, and the Parks Department Commissioner indicated to us that they were not able to do that. They went out and tried to go to the open market to find other individuals and actually had to take a $660,000 revenue hit from their projected budget based on the renegotiation of these contracts because of the lower overall attendance number. Those folks that have concessionaire contracts, they did attempt to go through the administration to renegotiate those contracts, but they were rebuffed because they were in the middle of 2 and 3 year agreements. So those contracts are actually it's a positive impact. As Mr. Harcum said, the more individuals that come through the door, there is an actual attendance bump at certain numbers. So the more people that come through the park through the gate, that's how the payments are charged. So it's not just it's a flat rate at the bottom number, but the more people that come through the park, the county makes more money on it. So it's actually a positive thing driving people to the park.
We were on your point. The information I had back was that the inclining scale that had been advanced by the concessionaires was something that the department ultimately didn't accept.
They didn't accept the fee schedule that the vendors presented, but there is a fee schedule in there that says that based on the numbers that there is increasing revenue to the county based on numbers. I believe the numbers the county wanted to use or was proposed by the vendors was a lower number as far as numbers of people going through the gate based on the increases proposed in the entrance fee, the spectator fees, et cetera. So the concessionaires wanted to have a lower number, the county wanted to have a higher number, and at the end they negotiated a number that lost the county.
I think, and I appreciate your comments, because I think that maybe there were actually two different systems here. The one that was shared with the Parks Committee was one where it covered basically every additional number above, say, 495, right to a million.
Yep.
And if it went beyond a million, this didn't begin with the current administration. For years, this board has driven home this whole point about to the administration, and for years it was the Spano administration, and it was a different commissioner, Commissioner Stout. But our point was, If the attendance is a million, then structure the contracts based on what a million potentially will do to concessionaires or operating booths. If the attendance is not a million, then recognize that it isn't and structure the cost of the contract based on the lower attendance. For years they did not do that. And so the administration really was kind of behind the self-fulfilling prophecy. When concessionaires came to us and said, "We didn't make that kind of money last year," we knew in advance they weren't going to make that kind of money last year because they were forced into contracts fixed at a million in attendance, and the attendance was gradually declining, 800, 700, 600,000, finally down to 5 and then below 5. So this year, just for the record, this year the concessionaires, with our assistance, only because it was right, finally convinced the administration that you can no longer structure contracts with concessionaires based on a million attendants if they're only seeing 500,000 people come through the gate. That was a post-budget approval discussion. The department had already come in and given us revenue on the contracts based on contracts that were let with a 1 million attendance kind of agreement. After that action had been taken, that's when they entered into the contracts at the lower contract price. That's when the department actually had to take a hit, because as they were sewing up these contracts, they were agreeing to amounts that would ultimately aggregate, Pete mentioned, about $600,000 less. So that was the first hole. The concessionaires at that time had advanced a very reasonable proposal, and what they said was this: everybody knows the attendance is 500,000. We want a contract based on 500,000. We want you to set the fee, and we were going to build into it an inclining scale. If the attendance actually comes out to 6.25, 758, 942,000, we will pay you per head above that. In other words, that contract price would ultimately swell to probably what it had been originally when it was being written at 1 million. So what I would like staff to pursue for me is I'd like copies of all of the contracts that were finalized this year with the concessionaires, so the Parks Committee can take a look at what type of mechanisms were finally agreed to and put into these contracts that build extra revenue into the contract, into the contract, should attendance exceed the budgeted number was closer to 6. But should exceed those numbers, I think that this board needs to know what is operating in those contracts that protects the county should there be a windfall in attendance in this season.
Mr. Chairman, but just on that point again, and we have to keep expressing this and stressing this particular point, that the numbers that we keep hearing, the million number was an estimate.
Right.
That number was an estimate, and your committee did fantastic work in driving that out. That the estimate at a million people was based on 50 people per bus and 4 people per car. Mm. And utilizing those numbers, that last year's attendance, instead of the 492,000, was really 642,000 based on the old formula. So now we have an actual number of people that are coming through the gate. We can have a better number to deal with. Okay. So certainly, again, you know, every time we keep hearing the, you know, Plainlands attendance was a million, and now it's $500,000, half the number. You know what? We don't really know exactly what the number was. We know that we had an estimate, and we know that it's different.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, to be honest with you, that in itself is aggravating as hell, because this has been this operation down there has been going on for decades. We've had we've had people in this government represent the attendance figure at a million year after year after year after year, and it was only in recent years, maybe the recent year and a half, I don't remember when we first learned that these were all estimates. And hard as that is to believe, that they never had a system where they could accurately count, you know, what we were doing in terms of sales at the park. You know, some type of meaningful figure that would, where we could tell people arrived at the park and they bought certain things. They bought this pass. They bought this ticket. And to hear a few years ago or a year ago that we've been dealing with estimates for decades, that to me, it was ridiculous. It just made our job a hell of a lot harder, both in budget and in parks.
But Mr. Chairman, and just on that again, for that particular point, a few years ago through this board, through the driving of this board, it was making sure that we were having a zero tax levy for the park. So, you know, it was tremendous amount of work by predecessors to me, all right, and to some members on the board now that were trying to get to the place where Playland was going to have zero tax levy
right,
impact.
Right.
That was the bottom line.
We all remember the press conference.
And the whole driving force of that was doing things, purchasing rides, doing all those kind of things to put us in place. But again, I also want to point out, again, that the department itself in its initial budget submission submitted a revenue number of somewhere around $15 million. That was the number that the department submitted as far as the budget proposal. At the end of the budget proposal, the number was around $12 million. So the thing that the board adopted at the end was $12 million. But the department's initial submission was over $15 million of revenue at Playland. So we have to put all these things into context when we're talking about this, and just saying again, that we have to deal with this. Mr. Chairman, I just want to add one more point because I'm supposed to be at jury duty now, right now. You wouldn't want me to get in trouble doing that. Right? Ms. Marcotte was asking a question. The numbers, again, were the actual numbers for that weekend period for the 2 years. So let me just give the numbers one more time for 2011, 6-3, March, June 3rd to June 5th. The weather, because she has a question about the weather, would the weather make a difference? And the weather obviously would make a difference. However, it would make a difference on both ends, right? So you know, more people would come or less people would come based on the weather. So for that weekend, last weekend, June 3rd to June 5th, I'm sorry, 2 weekends ago, 3,197 was the total number of people, 3,197. 1,449 residents, 1,748 non-residents. In 2010,
those are just for spectators.
Those are just spectators,
not for total.
Those are just the spectators. For 2010, the total number of people that went for spectators was 2,961. 1,670 residents, and 1,291 non-residents. So we just have that clear. And last thing, again, Ms. Chan, thank you for the time and the consideration. You know, golf courses are parks too, and if you walk through a golf course, you don't pay for it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, people run and jog and what's called. You got to duck maybe, depending on where you are, right? But there's many people that walk the golf courses for good exercise, et cetera, and the same kind of thing. If you play golf, you pay for it. So if you get on a ride, you pay for it, right? So, but just walking through, it's a park, and the county residents already paid for it.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Good. I would like to move this.
We have a motion by Mr. Myers to move.
For both committees, yes.
Okay, for both committees. We have a second.
Second for budget.
Okay, second
go
for
ahead.
Budget.
No, legislator Burton.
Okay. A second for parks. Alfreda. On further discussion, just to the administration, if you would, and I'm very serious about this. I think the reporting from the department is a great idea. It's going to help us. I'm sure it'll be a valuable tool for you upstairs. So if we can get them on track to where they start generating for the 8th and 9th floor, this kind of weekly reporting, the sooner they get into that, the better, and it'll be very useful to us as we work together through the season to try to, fine-tune the operation and do the course corrections that are necessary. Sheila, your point is well taken. It's just that we're in a position now to look at the data. For example, our reaction to 09 was, or the reaction we got when we asked the questions about, well, the 09 collapse, well, it was too wet. And then we asked about 2010 and the further collapse. Well, it was too hot. Or it was too sunny, right? Whatever it was. So I think we'll feel a lot more comfortable. Whatever the data is, as soon as we have as much as possible, we can kind of fairly assess what it is. Okay, any further discussion before we vote?
I just wanted to say,
Bernice,
thank you to you. I think you're very fair. You were not being political because you went back and said this is going on decades and decades with the previous administration. I really feel that you did a lot of work, and I appreciate that work. I'm sorry that we were not available to know this in the past, and I hope we go on, you know, learning more and being able to do something about it. I want to thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernice. Any other comments? Okay. For both committees, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. This item then is reported to the floor. At this point, let me adjourn. Motion to adjourn the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee. At this point, we've completed our agenda this morning.
So moved.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for your work.
Yeah, Chairman Ryan, thank you so much for leading the conversation on all of those items. Going back, members, we have minutes and we have one item to receive on file. And also,
minutes
have been done?
Yeah.
You see, the vice chairman of this committee
is very efficient. But we have one.
Okay. And the item has been received on file. Thank you for that confirmation. Item number number 8, 4375 is an act to compromise of Punkle Claims VM. And I understand that Mr. Nona in the subcommittee on litigation had this item thoroughly reviewed.